Is there any questions at all?
Would you mind a slightly challenge?
No, I like challenges.
The point you're making there about you know the karma's loving back to school and things.
Yeah. I always put that in my class. It's my trademark.
you mentioned also about renunciation. Sometimes what we were saying there is that we should love the highest. But we may not actually be able to hit the highest very quickly. It may take several lifetimes. And then we could, in one sense, without any love at all. I mean, I know karmis, a large degree, they will love the body and so on. But they're also loving the soul in there, too. You know, they actually do love, but they don't really realize what they're loving, but there is that love for the soul there, too. So, as devotees, sometimes we could become a little bit renounced and say, I don't love this person. And we lose a lot of normal, you know, good feelings that are there towards other devotees because we think, I'm not going to love that person because they're just, you know. I feel that I was a little bit of a victim to that, you know, myself early on in Krishna consciousness of, you know.
Artificial renunciation, that's called.
Not replacing it with.
The thing is that, you see, you can't renounce unless you have something superior. If you don't have something superior, then it's artificial to renounce. So the superior thing, obviously, is to go back to home, back to God. That's the superior thing, which we all thrive for. Because that realization is very, very difficult to understand the nature of the spiritual world, and to have the strength to maintain a spiritual stand. At the same time, the body, of course, you see, all energy is Krishna's energy. This is one thing I want to discuss, but there's no time, and I didn't really construct the class in the right way. But all energy is spiritual. There is no material energy. Everything is coming from Krishna, and everything is spiritual. But the function is different. You see, you must understand the function is different. So we must understand the functional aspect of nature. The natural attraction, just like when I see a young girl, a little baby, 5-year-old, I'm naturally attracted. And you're naturally attracted to cuddle it and play with it. This is natural. It's not an unnatural thing because this is the manifestation of Krishna's energy. But the thing is that, I'll give you a good example. A very good example was, Prabhupada was in his room with a group of sannyasis, you know, all the big leaders were talking with. So then a very beautiful Brahmacharini walked in. And Prabhupada looked at the Brahmacharini and said, isn't she beautiful? And like all the sannyasis went, you know, renunciation, rainbow. So they were a bit bewildered. And Prabhupada said, isn't she beautiful? So everyone looked around the room and went, yeah. She was beautiful. And then Prabhupada said, so, what are you going to do about it? So they all kind of looked at each other. And then Prabhupada sort of leaned back and slapped on his knee. And he said, absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. So, the appreciation of Krishna's energy must also be there. So, we're not impersonalists. Yes, there is beauty. And that beauty is coming from the soul, which you rightly say. And it's manifested in personalities. So those personalities are naturally beautiful. We see this beauty is coming out in various ways. Kindness, gentleness, simplicity, tolerance. You know, just like, I mean, I'm negative because that's a sort of one side of the coin. But on the positive side, we see that there's many beautiful qualities of a person in the material world. The thing is, appreciation is okay in the background of spiritual life. In other words, one must perform his activities in the background of spiritual life. So there's no harm in having a very nice relationship with the wife or the children or having emotions. But in the background of understanding that all these things are resting in the Supreme Personality of God. Just like if we take prasadam, we can go into ecstasy of understanding that this is Krishna's anandamaya. Anandamaya is all-pervading because Krishna's energy is full of ananda, anandamaya, anandamaya vyasa. So therefore, in the material world, there's also ananda. We're not saying there's not Ananda, but the function is different. The function is different. The function is to delude us. So we have to balance that attraction and repulsion aspect. Not that we become, if you say, give up, how can you give up? You can't give up anything. You're not the controller. So there's no question of giving up. If you were the controller, you could give up. You understand? Your power of abnegation, your power of renunciation is artificial, because you can only give up when God blesses you to give up. You understand? You can't give up because you have the power to give up. Because at any moment, just like Prabhupada said, even your movement of your hand can go. Even the movement of your arm, even the movement of your eyes, everything can go if God wants. So we should understand that everything is resting on Krishna. So there's no question of giving up. That is Palgu Vairagya. Palgu Vairagya. Palgu was a river. Palgu is a beach. And it's dry. But very, very small way down there's water. So the example of Palgu, it means that on the surface there's some dryness, but down, lots of water. So similarly, in renunciation, on the surface it looks renounced, but if you go a little bit, there's so much desire there. So desire cannot be removed from consciousness. Consciousness and desire and pleasure are all intricately linked. So there is a wonderful manifestation in Krishna's energy, and one should cultivate, as it says in each Upanishad, cultivate the material with the spiritual, side by side. Not that we artificially imitate a Gaur-Kishore's Babaji or some big renunciate. Then it becomes artificial. But, as you said rightly, that if one is artificially renounced, the heart becomes hard. Then you can't love Krishna if you become hard-hearted. How can you? You can't even love Krishna. The heart must be supple and soft. So that means emotions. So a devotee naturally has emotions. That's why Prabhupada says Arjuna on the battle of Kurukshetra had emotions. He was full of emotion. That's why his bow was falling from his hand. And he's a pure devotee. So we should say, well, if he's a pure devotee, why didn't he just turn around and say, oh, they're all just bags of pus and mucus and bile and stick a few arrows in them, what does it matter? You see? But there's two sides. That the energy is also spiritual, but it has function is different. You see, function is different. So there's that mystical function within matter to delude, to bewilder the living entity. But if we use everything in Krishna's service, in relationship with Krishna, then it has no inferior connection. There's no inferior, because it's purified, reconnected. I don't know if that answers your question, but it's a little attempt. That's the point I'm making. You see, the background is Krishna. If you, just like Prabhupada says, what does it mean to love Krishna? To love Krishna means to love all of Krishna's energy. How can you love God and not love His energy? So you have to see Krishna in His energy. Now Prabhupada said, that doesn't mean that you say, oh, here is lion. Oh, this is also Krishna, let me embrace. Let me give the lion a kiss. Because Krishna is there in the lion, and the lion is Krishna's energy, and the lion looks very sweet, so let me give him a big kiss in the mouth. But lion will bite your head off. So it's not that philosophy that we just go around embracing lion. But we can understand that this lion is created by the power of Krishna. And this is Krishna's transcendental variegatedness. The soul is there within that body, and because the soul is in the body, therefore the lion is very dear to us, because the devotee doesn't like to kill even a little ant. So therefore he has no animosity to the lion, because he knows that this is the same spirit soul, but in a different body, different dress. So therefore, it's a question of, one time we asked Prabhupada about that. We said, Prabhupada, how does the devotee see Krishna everywhere? Is it that in every atom he sees this four-armed Vishnu, and that means that he can see millions and billions of them? So Prabhupada said it's like this. He said, just like the scientists, when they want to see the molecular content, they use a microscope. So the microscopes allows them to see things that you can't see. You see? So it is a if you like, extra vision. Extra vision. So similarly, when one becomes a pure devotee, pramandiri charita bhakti vilochanena, then one's eyes are anointed with the salve of love. So when that anointed of salve of love, then automatically one loves everything. A good example was one follower of Lord Chaitanya. Vasudeva, I think it was Vasudeva. He had a very bad skin disease. Little worms were eating him. They were eating into his skin. Now you can imagine how itchy that would be, these little insects. But when one would fall out, he would put him back again. So much compassion on that little worm. But we can't imitate that. You see, we can't imitate that. Haridas Thakur, when he was being beaten to death, was simply thinking of the spiritual advancement of those people who were beaten it. So he was thinking how to give them Krishna consciousness. So we can't imitate that. But that platform is there. That platform of absolute love is there on the spiritual platform. That's why Prabhupada, everyone could see that he was in love with every living entity. Prabhupada was full of love. We couldn't understand it. Even we could see. Why were some people attracted to Prabhupada? Because he was full of love. He had love, serious love. It wasn't some kind of artificial arrangement in his mind. He had full love for all living entities. So therefore, Prabhupada's whole life was to give something, not to take. Prabhupada said, I've only come to give. So that affection, that love is there. But it's not that Prabhupada was sentimental. It was scientific, based on realization. So this is a different level, but it is there. So when we say material energy is inferior, we don't mean it's inferior, because everything is coming from God. How can something come from God that's inferior? The function is inferior. You understand? The function is inferior. So therefore, we want to transform it into a superior function. That is what Krishna consciousness means. To transform it into superior function. Superior function means the eternal activity of the soul in his eternal loving relationship with Krishna. So we utilize everything, cars, planes, buildings, everything in the service of Krishna. Whereas in the material world, everyone is trying to utilize everything in their own service. That's the difference of function. And if you're using everything in the service of Krishna in pure Krishna, you'll never become trapped by Maya. So getting back to that feelings, they won't trap you. Because Krishna protects his devotee. But if you're using it in your own sense gratification, there's danger of being trapped.
I was just thinking that from the point of the analysis of a person's body being still in the mirror, it is a fact. And real love in that sense, if a person understands that, would be to take this living in, empathy and freedom from that condition. Take a moment, the cycle of death, and bring it back to Krishna.
Yeah, but affection is still there. The family, in ties, there's always affection. You can't, you know, it's a natural thing to have some affection. So, intellectually, in the intellectual plane, or philosophical plane, we can, what you're saying is perfectly right. But on the emotional plane, there is also emotion. And that emotion must be there, because emotions are coming from consciousness. But the emotion must be there for Krishna. When that is Krishna conscious, then everything else becomes properly situated. Just like Prabhupada gave an example, when the sun is in the sky, everything else has its proper situation. But when the sun is not there, everything becomes a source of what do you call it? Anxiety and disturbance.
Okay. Let me just ask a question then. Why is it that the Bhagavad Gita, it's kind of looking at the world, it seems from the perspective of a male, looking at the world, and showing Maya from that point of view, but not the reverse, from the female point of view? You know, for example, like,